One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
Why, you say? Because I just hit record on the video. This is what happens when
we had a whole conversation.
Yeah, we did. It wasn't much, but it was shout a conversation.
Shout out to our sponsor, one of our sponsors, Monster Energy. Monster Energy, the good folks.
They get a double up.
The good folks over at Monster Energy. Thank you for supporting the program. We truly appreciate it. And these things really work. People ask, do you really drink that? Yes, I really drink it. I have a whole Monster fridge in my garage.
Sife had a birthday festivity the other day, and he only allowed us to drink Monster the whole birthday, no matter. People would say they'd go to the fridge looking for a beer. They'd open the fridge and just be Monsters. And they go,
no, well, there was some Coronas, but I poured them out and poured Monster into them.
I want everyone to know two things. One, yes, we are delaying getting to the topic of the episode today.
Inevitable. To do
it. And number two, I did get to see Sife's record shelves in person. It was really an experience, man. Your guy really it's really, really nice. That setup there is. What do you think
clean,
of my new?
It's clean.
Very clean. It's that room clean.
Because I've seen better record setups, record collection setups, like people that put $50,000 into building custom shelves, you know what I mean, with the wood and the shelves down here, clean.
They do the job.
Black shelves, black you know, the sides, it's clean. I did a couple of customizations. I like it.
So, don't know if anybody saw the news over the last week or so.
Drake?
A lot of stuff with Drake and Rick Ross and Jay. Although I gotta tell you, I'm like,
first of all, the fucking Drake, I read a headline, it was like, Rick Ross accuses Drake of getting a nose job. Drake accuses Rick Ross of using weight loss drugs. Yeah! That's not even a diss. We on it. What are you talking about? Leave him alone, man.
Wait, which way do you mean? Do you mean both ways?
No, the weight loss drug.
Yeah.
That's like a thing now. Like, everybody's on some kind of weight loss thing.
Yeah, come on, man. Ross got thin.
But is that the point now where people are bragging about it? Like, yo, I'm on that Ozempic. I'm on that whatever the other one is. That's not even like people don't even hide it no more. It's like a thing. That was a fat guy joke that did not land, Drake.
Well, but remember, he's also dealing. Drake is in the process of getting the obligatory biracial light skin just being called white boy jokes too. So
white boy is hilarious. White boy is hilarious because as Dave Chappelle says, Drake's father is a.
What was? Do you think it's funny that you to call him white boy?
Yes.
Just straight up call him white boy.
That's a good subliminal. It's what's the opposite of subliminal? It's liminal. It's liminal. It's a liminal diss, but also subliminal.
I want to ask a question to everyone listening to One Up This Week, though. Is everybody who jumped in the beef late kind of weak? Like if you're not Drake, obviously. Kendrick, Future, or Metro. They're the ones who were initially involved.
No, but this is... I'm sorry. Finish your question.
But no, hear me out. Is it weak, though, if you're someone else who had issues with Drake and are now like, you watched and you're like, oh, wait, everyone's jumping in? I'm jumping in. Is that weak?
No. It's not weak. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you what's happening with everyone. Everyone is going, see, I told you that guy's like that. See, like, it's like you didn't know other people felt that way. And it was like, I've been saying this. Pusher's somewhere sitting back eating popcorn. Pusher's on his couch like, ho, look at this. What do we have here? Ooh. he's in it too. Oh, look at your man. So it's like it's come to a culmination, if you will. People are going,
but you
I told you he was like that.
But you don't think that's still a little weak to them be like, if you thought it and you already were like that, then you should have just gone for it.
Yes, I agree. I understand what you're saying there, and yes, I agree.
You know, you're watching. Right.
I'm explaining why it's happening. You're saying it shouldn't have happened. Like,
I'm describing what it looks like.
Because a lot of people bringing up old beef. You had your shot. When your shit happened, why didn't you say anything then?
Am I weird, though, that I'm just, like, not that into this? Like, is it a matter of I just got older and so I shouldn't care as much? Or is it, like, not that dope? Or like, am I missing?
I think it's both. I think it's both. We are older. There's a video this comedian made. One video was like, he didn't even realize it was a diss. He had to watch a YouTube video on how Kendrick was dissing Drake and J. Cole. And then he makes another video where he's sitting in his car and he goes, this is how long it took me to tell Nas was dissing Jay-Z. And then Ether starts like, then fuck Jay-Z. He's like, yep, right there. That's it. there's no trying to figure it out. There's no trying to figure it out. Then fuck Jay-Z. Okay, by we way, know what this song is about.
By the way, I got to tell you, that's a really fair point. That's a really, really fair point.
And then like the level of you got to really know what's going on. So maybe it is an older thing. Maybe these kids know all these little things that happen and these disses make sense. But otherwise, they're just like, I mean, mind you, I'm telling you right now, Drake knows how to fucking make a record. Like, he's flowing on that record, delivery-wise, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, I technically don't know all the shit he's saying. But he got them one bar raps that like is punchy. It's like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about all the way through, but I know he is delivering it in a spectacular way.
Yeah, no, he sounds good.
Which is the entertainment factor of Drake, where you could be a white girl from Minnesota, 13 years old, and that record, and it just sounds good. Without all the shit that what it means, just sounds good.
That's what makes his diss records dope. Is that people can digest them. But yeah, I don't know, man. There's something about all of them. Like Kendrick's verse, I wasn't that into. Drake's response is good, but I didn't spend much time thinking about it. The Ross record, like I don't know. That one was pretty damn direct, and I still wasn't that into it.
Nah, man. It's like, I don't know. We come from the bridges over. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to be, it's not because I feel like these aren't diss records. I'll show you what a diss record is. I'm just not. Yeah, maybe it's that, like, the source of it. Like, so much of it seems like the Drake Future stuff is based in, like, pillow talk stuff with a woman. Yeah. You know, because all these dudes, and with Ross, there's stuff too. Because all of you weirdos fuck with like the same five girls.
No, I was talking about that with somebody the other day. Like, yo, listen, you all go to the same parties, the same clubs, the same places, and you're all around the same. Why do y'all all want the same girl? These girls that fuck ball players and rappers all the, why do you want them? I don't want any of those chicks.
By the way, half of them, they're created in a lab. Like, they're not even, and meanwhile, you could go be with the hottest regular girl ever, but it's convenient. It's very, you don't want to have to date someone who requires you to do things that dating someone does. And women who frankly have self-respect and don't kind of spend their time moving around hoping to sleep with people like that, they have other standards like meet my family and I have responsibilities and I can't just drop my life for you. They want people who are they want professional, basically professional side chick, professional chick who's just there. Because it's valuable.
Can spend the whole day with you, be in the studio with you, get on a private jet at a moment's notice and go somewhere with you. Yeah, okay, I see that part.
That's got to be the whole thing.
There's also the competitive part. Like, why does he get that girl? Yeah, I got more money than him, but why does he get that? I want that girl.
It's a crazy way to think.
It's crazy.
But they're living crazy lives. I mean, listen, Drake and Ross are both on a path to being billionaires.
Yeah.
They're both on a path to being billionaires. So it's a crazy life. I don't identify with it. I don't. Maybe that's part. It just like feels far removed from what interests me or something. Now, Kendrick could. I will say this. Kendrick, I really do believe, gave like a love tap on that Future record. I don't think he really went for it. I think if Kendrick really goes for it, it will probably pique my interest in a real way. Like if Kendrick goes for it, like he comes back on some,
like an Eminem type diss record.
That, because by the way, why did Drake have to mention Kendrick's wife, bro? Why does Drake mention such weird stuff? Something about a bodyguard like Whitney. And that's Kendrick's wife's name.
Her name is Whitney?
Yeah.
Like he's referencing the movie Bodyguard. So what he's saying,
that's right.
She's knocking down her bodyguard.
I just think it's a play on the name of the movie.
Right.
But maybe, I mean, who knows? Either way, though, listen, Drizzy, I love you. But when you wonder why that people get like a little weird with you, one of the things that I throw in is you're having like a back and forth on rap. Kendrick kept all his shit to rap. You went right to talking about his wife.
Yeah.
Like Kendrick.
That's how Jay-Z lost the Nas battle.
You know what, Syph? It's a great point.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You could. Yeah. Cause you're right. Nas did a whole thing, a whole record on Jay and never talked about his family. Did he?
I don't think so. Rockefeller family.
Right. But like, he didn't go into your girl this or that. And the second Jay took that misstep on Super Ugly, it just knew. It ended up not working out.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on the situation and we'll let you know a week after it happens.
Here's what you can count on with WANEP. When the big news happens, we're here a week later to digest it and talk about it with you.
Okay, so Rory and Maul. I understand Maul's...
What? We're just going to get to everything except
real Mr. quick, C. Real quick. Rory and Maul. I understand Maul's point. Was Rory trying to go at me? Was he trying to diss me?
Well, what did Rory say? I listened. I didn't hear that.
He said, why are you dissing somebody? Diss Syph. And then Rory jumped in with the, we're talking passion. We can't talk passionately about hip hop.
Yeah.
There was a little thing he said in there where it was like, Syph this, Syph that. Well, I don't care, but I'm just saying. I'm just wondering, he defending me or going at me?
I don't think either really, but Rory did call me the day of their podcast to like, let me know and be like, hey, we had a conversation about you guys. We started the podcast with it. I just want to let you know it was respectful, but it was this, that. I said, Rory, listen, man, thank you. The fact that you guys have a popping podcast and you talked about us. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that because we could Syph and I can literally say whatever we want. No one says shit back. So thank you, Rory.
How'd you listen?
No, because you know what it is? Rory's a real old school one app. Rory still listens. I get it.
I just want to say this. I don't listen to hip hop podcasts, but I listened to that clip because it was about us. And I was like, yo, these guys got a good podcast. These guys got a good show.
No, it came in. The show starts with The show started, they started the show with the Mr. C Big E freestyle music, which was a nice little tribute. Yep. They care. No, listen, Rory and Maul, they are into, they are actually sort of the most direct descendants of our show when you think about
it. Yeah, really good. Mind you,
hip hop.
You know, I hope, I hope they don't take it as disrespect. I was giving my opinion about Maul's opinion, and now the shit has gone fucking double, triple times crazier. But I meant no disrespect personally.
Well, no, ever since then, since that conversation happened, the beef is 10 times fold over. But the funniest thing is they said something about, they made it, they sort of took it as like almost offensive that you were like, you should go see a Jewish lady. I was like, that part was a joke. That part was just saying,
It wasn't a joke. You know why? No. I'm talking about one specific Jewish lady who was my therapist. Maybe I should have said, you should go see my old Jewish lady. And she's not old.
Right.
But the reason why I said that is because I have sent many people to see my therapist over the last 10 years. And my therapist loves me for it. And other people have thanked me for it. And I'm talking about some celebs. So,
you sent her something.
So that's what I meant. I mean, I'm referring to one specific Jewish lady, my therapist.
Okay. That makes I think that's helpful information.
But then I like what he said. He was like, suggest me a black male therapist. And I was like, oh, I get what you're saying. But then also, he's just going to agree with you and we're not going to get anywhere. You're going to go see a black male therapist and he's going to be like, yo, before we start, J. Cole's a pussy, right? Fuck yeah, son. J. Cole a pussy.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here. It's important that we do the work. And I personally understand why culturally you'd want to find someone who has a similar background to you so we can relate. So before we even start, I just want to say off top, fuck that pussy J. Cole. I also removed his posters from my wall. Fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Never apologize.
Don't ever apologize. That's our starting ground. No. We're talking about doing a little collabo with them this week to have the conversation because they do fundamentally see this in a way that I didn't see it. Like I actually do disagree also on some of these things, but also props to J. Cole. If J. Cole wanted out of this beef, like he did it. Like he caught a little stray. He caught a little stray from Drake.
Yep.
He said, I heard that Cole shit. That was weak. Whatever. He took a little shot from Drake.
Light tap. Yeah.
Light tap. I got to give that to you. My guess is Kendrick leaves him out of it whenever he strikes back. And now I don't hear anyone talking about Cole. Now everyone's talking about the rest of the shit. And Cole's
maybe Cole heard all this was coming and was like, you know what? I don't want to be in all this messy shit. Why don't I step back?
Oh, that's interesting.
And then Maul was calling him a hippie people call him a hippie. And it's like, okay, maybe he is a hippie. That's not a bad thing.
Love hippies.
It's not a bad thing at all, man.
I think, listen, remember Black Hippie?
This is my therapy. This is my therapy. You know, this is a mall. I'm going to tell you something, and I'll tell you in person when we meet up. I'm going to tell you something. Everyone who does not go to therapy thinks what they're doing is their version of therapy. No, 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 no. Maybe you're doing something helpful to yourself, but therapy is a very specific thing. therapy.
No, no. Therapy is your therapy. But I'll tell you this. I also want to say sometimes therapy, like, just to be clear, if you try, because it's such an overused term, is like, it's not a solve everything move.
No.
Like, I do have weeks of therapy where I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, honestly, no, 100%.
Like, you are going to have times when you're like, did this bitch do anything? What are we doing?
I'll explain therapy to you. And this is for...
Wait. Can your therapy help explain why we're avoiding talking about Mr. C going on 30 minutes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes. Keep going.
I'll say this and then we'll talk about Mr. C. Therapy doesn't solve your problems. For me, therapy gives you tools, right? So this is what we call it. It's called my toolbox. When I went to therapy, there were zero tools in my toolbox. Now, for the years I've gone to therapy, I now have tools in my toolbox. These tools help me go from 2 week depression to 2 hour depression. I'll feel the depressed feelings and I'll start putting my tools into play, and my depressed feelings, not always, I still have 2 week sessions, but very less frequently. And what I'll go, I'm feeling depressed or whatever the feelings are you have. And I'll be, oh, let me go into my toolbox, this, 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 and I'll get myself out of it a lot faster.
For all the time you've spent around nerdy white people, the way you just said very less frequently was.
Well, is that bad?
It's so wrong. It's so wrong. I can't even quite point out why it's so wrong.
Is it irregardless?
It's beyond there. It's irregardless plus. It's like,
oh man,
you say much less frequently. You can't say very less frequently.
Yeah, I like very less frequently.
No, listen, do what you got to do. But I think that's a really good way of putting it, because like I have days when I'm like, we're not doing anything. Or you know what annoys me? I hate starting therapy. I hate being like, hey, because always on the phone these days for me. Hey, doctor. Hey. Sometimes I just want them to be like, so what's good? What's going on?
What's going on?
I have to always start being like, so this week, it feels so self-indulgent that I have to start. So back to me again. So there are things about it that are weird and it's imperfect. For sure. But anyways, also before we get to our conversation about Mr. C, I do need to tell all of you guys who are our faithful OneUp listeners, Cheap Heat, my Cheap Heat podcast is no longer with The Ringer and Spotify. Oh. It's a wrap. I'm out.
What happened?
So we couldn't work it out. Oh. Well, you know what? At first I didn't view it as good. And now that I'm excited to be launching it on my own, which is what I'm doing, at least in the temporary, it's exciting. So do me a favor, go search for Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg, wherever you find podcasts. Now, when you search on the podcast, here's the fucked up part. It's going to bring up all these episodes of the Ringer Wrestling Show, because my podcast was hidden within the Ringer Wrestling Show. So when you go to the Apple Podcast app and you first type in Cheap Heat, it's going to come up all those it'll say top results, and it's going to show you a lot of Ringer Wrestling Show. If you don't see my shit, tap the little tab next to it where it says shows, and you will see Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg. It's a black and orange logo. And yeah, man, you know that feeling when you drop something new and we got everybody coming over who had not, you know, who was with us on The Ringer, because they all signed up at once, Sife, it drove us to the top of the charts. It got me high off that validation again. I fell back.
Nice, nice.
I went and checked one day. I was like, let me see if we even crack on Saturday. I was like, let me see if we crack the top 200. And we were way up there. Yo, bro, by the way, do you know who has a big ass podcast? Like a big ass podcast?
Who?
Hala, formerly of Hot 97.
Really?
Yo, Hala's podcast is fucking big, dude. Like,
whoa.
She made a podcast called Young and Profiting with Hala Taha. And like, when I first saw her posting about it, it was her like talking about like how to make it in digital and stuff. And I was kind of like, but how do you know? Yeah. And then like, that was where my brain went. And then I kept watching. Yeah. I'm like, I guess she knows. She really does. Yo, her podcast is rated 4.9. It has 3,400 reviews. At this moment, when I looked at the top charts in all podcasts, because I was all hyped that mine was like number 30, hers has been out for years, and she's sitting at the number 43 podcast in all podcasts.
Wow.
It's fucking crazy. Like right now, she's sitting here ahead of Ben Shapiro. Props to Hala, who used to work with us at Hot 97. I did reach out to her at some point, like, we should probably talk to you about how to do stuff, because you seem please. Like you know what you're doing. So
please.
All right. We've now delayed enough. If you want to hear us talk about Mr. C, you got to go to over Patreon. I'm just kidding. No. Although I think we will do more on Patreon and play some music on Patreon. Real quick, before we continue with the podcast, this is important. I do want to say today's episode is sponsored by our friends, wait for it, Sife, over at Blue Chew.
Yes.
Sife, you remember the good old days when you could just, in a moment, just boom.
Yeah, get it right. Get it right.
Now it might take a little longer. Might be a little bit more challenging. Might need a little assist. You know what I mean?
I'll take a little assist. I'll take an alley-oop.
So you head over to BlueChew.com, and when they ask you for the code, you say Juan Epp. And basically what Blue Chew is going to do, it's going to get you ready when that moment comes with your lady. You know what I'm saying? It'll make things a little bit smoother. And here's the beauty. Everything about it is done entirely online. No awkward conversations, no waiting line at the pharmacy. You go to BlueChew.com. You sign up with our passcode Juan Epp. You consult with a licensed medical provider. Once you're approved, you receive the prescription in days. It's that easy, Sife.
In a discreet package.
You know about the discreet package. Discreet.
I've heard the package is discreet.
That's right. So if you're looking to liven things up at home, go to BlueChew.com. Use that code Juan Epp.
J-U-A-N-E-P. Juan Epp.
That's right. Support the podcast and support your Sheboygan. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Blue Chew. Blue's my favorite color.
All right.
C died, man.
Mr. C died, guys.
Mr. C died.
It has been a little bit of an adjustment period here. How are you feeling right now? Like five days into this.
I'm fine now. Are you like, I've mourned. I've come to the realization. I've questioned and examined my own mortality. I've gone through the stages of what are we doing this for? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, when I got the news, here's something that's very, first of all, Mrs. C, Calvin LeBron, LeBron. I don't even know how to say it, LeBron.
It's LeBron. I don't know, I'm very LeBron. Young.
LeBron. For all those that are maybe young and don't know Mrs. C, hip hop legend. Was the DJ. It's funny because I always say he was the DJ, Big Daddy Kane's DJ, but they were more partners. It was really a group.
Mm-hmm.
C and Kane were a group, but it was just called Big Daddy Kane. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't just a hired help. He was like part of the organization. Great DJ for Big Daddy Kane. And then just a Brooklyn native. And then gets the credit for discovering Biggie, right? He says often he didn't discover Biggie. Biggie was brought to him by his friend, DJ 50 Grand. But basically, Mr. C brought Biggie to Puff when he was at Uptown Records. Puff signed him to Uptown Records. And then Puff left, started his own label, Bad Boy Records. Mr. C on that first album is associate executive producer. So, like, when you look at Wikipedia, those are the two big Mr. C credits, right? The Where's Brooklyn At freestyle with Big Daddy Kane performing at Madison Square Garden with Biggie and Tupac rhyme back to back. That was because of Mr. C. Mr. C invited them. Mr. C set up the recording, press record, had the tape. That was all because of Mr. C.
I use the words to describe him like, 50 Grand was Biggie's DJ.
Yeah.
C was the connector they needed.
Yeah.
C was the connector. C was the one who was in the industry at that time. He already was making his way. He had done things.
Yeah. Mr. C, I've said this often. Mr. C is the first hip hop celebrity that I ever met. I was interning at WBAU at Adelphi University College Radio with Wildman Steve and DJ Riz. Mind you, Wildman Steve and DJ Riz, you know, they put me on, but they weren't that famous to me at the time. So Mr. C came by to, I think he had a, I forget, he had an artist or something. He was bringing somebody up and I met him. And I'm like, you know, this is 95. And we all know Mr. C from those Big Daddy Kane videos and all that stuff. And yeah, he took a picture with me. I got to find that picture. And he's like the first hip hop celebrity I ever met. And then later on became my brother. You know what I mean?
I feel like he's such an iconic character in the history of this podcast, too. Like, he's one of the most referenced people on the show.
For sure.
And I was I was hoping that somebody listening, one of our hardcore 1UP people, would remember maybe episodes when he popped in. Because I'll never know which one. Because he was there all the time when we were doing 1UP. So like
we would record 1UP at Hot 97 back in the day. So everybody who was at work at Hot 97 was always around. Yeah.
But really,
we would finish our morning show and we would go start 1UP.
So like he was around. So I wonder if you're listening and you remember episodes he was on or he popped in on, please let us know so we can try to put together like a thing, a best of thing. If you tell us all the episodes, we can then tell Billy June, and by his 5-year anniversary, we can have an episode released with all of those moments. Actually, Master Ace just reached out to me.
And here's the thing, what's weird. So now me and Mr. C work together at 94.7 The Block here in New York City, right, a throwback station. My boy Skip and my boy Dre got me out of retirement. I do 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on The Block. And from 12 to 1 is the Mr. C throwback at noon. So here's the thing, though. So many people have been hitting me about Mr. C. And I realize they're hitting me thinking I'm the closest with him because we technically work together every day. But here's the secret of radio. Here's the secret of radio nowadays, guys. Mr. C's mix is pre-recorded.
What about you? You don't ever pre-record, do you?
I pre-record. So I don't want to make it a big deal. I'm not trying to ruin the lore of radio. But Mr. C's Tuesday mix is recorded on a Monday.
So you're saying you guys were not physically together that often?
That's what people think, that they're hitting me like, yo, this is such a loss to you. And I'm like, bro, this is a loss to you. It's the same loss. We have the same loss.
Oh, got it. So you're hearing from people who are dealing with that. You know, they're on the same exact same wave that you're on, but they think of it as different.
They think of it as different for me because like we work together every day.
Got it. Right, right.
And meanwhile, then they're asking, because we work together every day, they're asking me for information. I don't have any information. I'm searching for info just like every time I talk to my boss, I'm like, hey, what's up? Did you speak to the family? Did you speak to what's the deal with this? What's the deal with that? You know what I mean? Those first couple days, man. Yeah, oof.
Isn't it crazy though that now we're so used to this level of death, it's so frequent, it feels like, that it really is like a faster sort of grieving period. Although, depending on when the service happens, obviously that can then take you right back there, you know, and then you're kind of back in it again.
Yeah.
But what happened for me was I'm walking into the K show and Cass One hits the group checks and says, guys, I'm hearing C died. And I looked at my phone as I'm walking into my PD's office to talk before we go on the air. And I sit down. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. And I say to the room, guys, my friend may have just died. And as I say that, I look at my phone and I see Cypher Sounds calling me. Keep in mind, we had just finished 1UP. 2 hours.
Yeah.
First of all, Sife calling me anytime without just texting, a blind call, is weird.
Yeah.
Doubly weird because we had just done 1UP. So the second I see now, Sife Sounds is calling me, and I just like, well.
And like, what number call you think you were?
From you?
What number call? From me.
From you.
What number call you think I was? Wait, who?
Oh, wait. No, that I was from you?
Yeah. I heard Mr. C died.
And then
I started making my calls. Who, what number you think you were?
Man, I guess that really depends.
It depends on all the factors. Decided to call.
Yeah, it depends on who you decided to call. Like, because you could have, I mean, because I would think, depending on what you think, who knows what, Flex would be your first call. But maybe you're like, oh, Flex already knows, or I don't want to be the one to call Flex. I don't know. So I could be anywhere between 1 and 20. I don't know. Lower than 20?
No. No.
Oh, God. That face was...
It's so in that tough. Range. But, like, who it is, how it... just who it is.
Well, I would think you'd call Flex. I would think maybe you called Angie.
From what... These are things you would do because you...
No,
like,
I'm trying to think of you. I don't know.
I don't want to call anyone someone died. I don't want to call people and give them the news.
Right. You're trying to avoid the news. Wait.
Yeah.
What about Didi? I wonder if you call Didi the barber.
No, not
to check with Didi.
So Didi the barber is my barber for many, many years. And he's been C's barber for the last probably 10. I introduced Didi. Didi also cuts Flex. From that, he beats a lot of people, whatever. No, I didn't call Didi. I called Didi later on. Didi gave me a lot of insight into C's situation, but why does your barber always know everything? You were number two.
Number two. Who was one?
My brother Jamal. I called Jamal for a couple of reasons. One, just my best friend, telling him about another friend that passed away, right?
Right.
But also Jamal was down with us from early stress days and all the clubs and when
Flip Squad.
When we tell those stories of C DJing Club Speed, Jamal was at the door. Jamal was at the door back then. So stuff like that. So I called him, I said, yo, C died, blah, blah, blah. And then I called my boy Peter Rosenberg because C meant so much to Wana. The Juan and the Ep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then Big Dennis called me crying, broken up. Flex called me quick. Flex called me. He goes, are these rumors true?
He wanted information.
He calls me. He doesn't even say hello. Are these rumors true? I go, from what I'm hearing. And then just silence. Bro. Silence. And he's like, this is not good. And I said, no. And I'm like, Flex, you're the one that finds everything out all the time. Like, go find out. Like, stop talking to me. I don't have the info. Please go get the info. And then I said, and then my boss told me, because my boss is the one who told me, this is not public. And then an hour later, I saw, I think Ted Smooth was the first Instagram I saw.
And I saw Ed Lover.
Ted Smooth was the first one I saw. And then as soon as I saw that, that's it. It went like fire. Then everybody started calling me.
The day before he passed, I heard him do a mix. He was playing Last Days by Onyx and he jumped on, was like, I'm doing all Onyx. And then he played Shut Him Down by Onyx. And he didn't sound right. His voice didn't sound right. And I consciously thought about it. I was like, Steve's voice doesn't sound right. Haven't heard him in a while. It can't be that he sounds this different though. He must be sick. Like he doesn't sound right.
But cold sick. Like he's sick right now.
Yeah. Off. Like he's sick right now. And then, I didn't go, oh my God, I'm worried he's in bad, bad shape. And then in retrospect, his transition was sort of sloppy from Last Days to Shut Him Down. But like he does that sometimes, like depending on the mix, if he's getting, it's not like, see, he's one of the great DJs I've ever known, but it's not because on every mix he's blending every song perfectly.
He's not DJ Riz.
No, it's hard to explain.
He DJs with more energy than preciseness, even though he is very precise.
He can be very. I think on Patreon, we'll go into more of the DJ nerdiness depth, yeah. I think. But I was like, it felt a little off. And I was just like, didn't think much of it. But I haven't heard him. I'm never driving around at midday. Happened to be driving and I heard him. And I almost videoed listening to at Syph and C, but I was like, I don't want to fuck up my Bluetooth, whatever. I didn't do it. And then this happened. And now I'm feeling like in this moment a little bit like it's hard to conjure up the emotion again. I had so much of it. I had so many emotional moments on the air at Hot. We had a really, really emotional episode of the show. And I did an interview for NPR where I got emotional doing the interview. It comes in waves. But man, we love that guy.
Love that guy. I had to go on the radio the next day. And I'm not, you know me, I'm not good with death. I'm not good with harping on it. And I had to do some kind of show, man, tribute. So, I mean, everyone knew already. It was all over, you know. And I just dedicated my whole show to him on the radio. And I just told cool stories. Every break, I didn't do any little gossip things going on in the world. I didn't do news. Every break I did was about Mr. C and times I've had with him, significant times, Club Speed Days, The Tunnel, Hot 97. Just recently, we had to do an event together that was hilarious. And then I also have some regrets. C's been getting on me lately C keeps inviting me to some after work party he does, but you can't wear sneakers. So I'm like, C, I'm never going there. I don't own shoes. He's like, put on some black Tims. I'm like, C, if it's a dress code, it's not for me. It's not for me. He's like, come on, come hang out. Let's show our faces together. Then he said, let's do an Instagram live. Let's do an Instagram live where we're talking about the show and the block and da 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 da. And I just kept pushing it off. Like not on purpose, like schedule wise. It was like, oh, I'm not here this week. I'm not here. And I didn't fight for it to happen. And I regret it now. I regret it. And then like, I don't know, like, then you start feeling like, can you have done anything? I still don't know how he died or what he died from, I should say. Yeah. I don't know what he died from. The story I got from my boy Didi was that because Mr. C would get a haircut Thursdays, 3:00 at Didi's barbershop, Fade to Famous in Brooklyn. I mean, don't even try to get in Thursday, 3:00. C is there like clockwork. Thursdays, 3:00. And if I want to go, C met my kids for the first time at Didi's barbershop Thursday, 3:00. I said, let me run in there at 2:00. And I brought my kids with me because it was like a holiday or something. And he met my kids at that barbershop. That's how, you know what I mean? That's how like close
we were. Because you knew, right. And you were just sure that he would be there.
Oh, so for sure. For sure. 3:00 Thursday. Like, it's not even a question. And the funny thing is, sometimes I'm sitting there, I'll go Thursday, 2:00. And Mrs. C calls at 2:15. Every single time. Didi, I'm on my way. And Didi goes, I know. Like, it's not like we know, see?
Wow.
We know. So Didi told me he was in the barbershop that Thursday before, and he said he didn't look good. See, Didi said you should go to the doctor. And C was like, no, I'm good. And then so usually C gets a cut at 3:00 and then leaves right away. And Didi said he didn't leave right away that day. He sat down in another chair for a little while and was like kind of like dozing off. See, Didi was like, oh, he must be really tired. Maybe he doesn't feel well. And C said, I have a big party on Saturday. I'll go next week. And people, you heard about the party, right?
No.
People were saying, a lot of people say he didn't look good at the party. He was like sitting down sometimes while he was DJing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But like C is like the most reliable person. So C, they said, he told me, this is how his day goes. He wakes up at 11. He, you know, gets ready at 11, does all his regular people stuff. 12 o'clock, he listens to his mix from the block. Mm-hmm. So like, bro, I'd be on the block sometimes and like, maybe the commercial was a little longer than it should have and his mix doesn't start till 12:03 or something. Bro, he calls me immediately. What's up with the mix? See, everything's automated. I don't press the buttons. It's automated in the computer. Call the boss. Hangs up. Calls the boss. What's up with the mix? He's like, bro, the commercials started late. Like, it's relax. So he listens from 12 to 1. He mixes the next day's mix at 1 mm-hmm. to 2. 2 to 5, he mixes his Rock the Bells Sirius XM show on LL Cool J's channel. So 2 to 4, right?
Okay.
2 to 4, just 2 hours. Then after that, he starts preparing for the next day's mix. So this is every day, Sunday through Thursday, just doing the mix and then preparing for the next day. Because see, if you don't know his mixes, he's very specific, very
meticulous.
It's tailor-made to the day.
Yes.
This is the Monday version of the Throwback at Noon. This is the Wednesday version. Friday version is more energy, right? And if it's anyone's birthday, anniversary of an album coming out, he doesn't do death days as much as he used to. He told me, he goes, I don't do death days that much.
Is that what he said? We used to call him the king of the death mix.
Anybody's death day, he would have a mix for them. And anyone's birthday or any story that was relevant to an old school throwback record that was happening right now. Like if, like I'm sure when Wu-Tang announced their residency in Vegas, he did a Wu set. You know what I mean? Anything that can connect to his throwbacks. So anyway, so now Master Ace is a really good friend of Mr. C. Like I just got Master Ace's daughter tickets to see Pete Davidson. Mr. C called me. He's like, yo, you know this guy, Pete Davidson? I go, yeah. He goes, my goddaughter wants to go see him at the Beacon. So I said, okay, I set it up. And then he ended up canceling. But yeah, so that's his goddaughter.
Yeah, well, he's very close with Lachey, the whole Lion team.
Lachey, who's Master Ace's wife, said on Monday she felt something was wrong because Mr. C played an entire song. Talk about a bitch that knows you. Talk about someone who knows your style. Mr. C never plays a whole song. Never. Never.
Oh, that's great. That's true love right there.
Yeah, that's family.
That's real family.
But so I was talking to Master Ace and bro, we got on the phone and we're like, you good? You good? We know what it is. And then he asked me for something. He goes, hey, I'm trying to reach so-and-so. Do you have a connect for so-and-so? And I go, no. But Ace, do you know who I would call to get that connect every time? And he goes, C.
Mr. C.
Anytime you needed to, who would I have to?
You know, from a Juan Epp standpoint, you know the last thing Mr. C, I didn't even tell you all that much about it, but the last thing Mr. C did with regard to Juan Epp, was he was really trying to get KRS on 1-Up.
Yes.
And he called KRS. He called his wife. He got me on text with KRS's wife. We made progress, but he took it as a personal mission to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we really have to make it fucking happen. C, just for people who don't know, C is the king of I'm calling you answer.
Yeah.
He texts all caps.
He texts.
I think C buys a phone and tells the people, make sure this is never not in caps.
I know. He doesn't have a caps lock. He has to undo the caps lock. Now, real quick, before we do our Patreon, I was just sent this. Let's see if I can make it play.
You can make it play?
Let's see. Tell me if you hear what I'm playing through right now. Hold on. Can you hear the following?
No.
Nothing? All right, hold on. Let's try something else.
Don't edit this out, Emilio. This is fun one-up suspense.
This is real. There's real one-up suspense. Okay, maybe this will work. All right. Now tell me if you hear it.
Ooh, no.
Supposedly, this is a piece of the Kendrick Lamar response to Drake.
What? And play it. You always play stuff. Why can't you play it?
It's playing now.
We don't hear it.
I thought you said you heard it.
I was joking. I said, no, I don't hear it.
Son of a bitch.
Play it.
Hold on. Let me try something else.
Play it.
All right. Hold on.
God damn it.
I like how we're like fighting desperately to do this, even though by the time the podcast comes out, everyone will have had the entire thing in CD quality. You're like, we need it. Okay, what if I do it this way? Hold on. I don't know why this shit's gotten so annoying. Let's try it this way. Hold on. Maybe this will work. Yo, nobody fucks with me anymore, Sif. It's crazy. You don't hear that, do you?
No.
Hear that?
No.
Yo, you remember when people used to fuck with me?
I do.
Everyone's like got a story. Oh, I'm hearing this about Kendrick, and I'm like, I don't hear anything. I don't hear a damn fucking thing. So what does that say? Let's try this. Hold on.
Utter my name 3 times in front of your mirror. You hesitate to proceed after you reconsider. Lights flickered, the energy in the room shifted. Scared to open your eyes, cause you feeling the ghost of Kendrick. I dominated your favorite rapper, you idolized. My silence is enough to make niggas apologize. Retract the statements, cold, saying regretting his lyrics. MCs die and you revive a competitive spirit. How to kill a rapper, let them do what's in they self. Self-inflicted career wounds that fear helped. Drop nukes, surprise moves, height of respect. They promised me my death, now they deleted threats. One rap nigga dead, laid on the floor. And I didn't even have to throw bullets for him to go. Now that we got that out of the way, it's one more to go. Stop wasting time, let's get the show on the road. Niggas was ignoring repeat disses. And when they give us wine, they entertained it as weak disses. And now that it's direct, it's leaked disses from burning pages and all. Insecure behavior from niggas y'all call guards. I know that you were sensitive and emphasis on lame. Seeking validation from rap critics, slandering names. Legacy forever cemented, I will reign. The next move, make the best move, is detrimental. Grab your glocks when you see K-Doc. Better car ghost riders, just to beat K-Dot. I came with a full clip, but only need one shot. No big breeds, it's dynamic. Uno, K-Dot.
So apparently that's like a little, that's like a teaser. You don't look impressed.
It sounds just like the other ones. They all sound the same.
What do you mean, though? Like, you know what? Let's go to Patreon. We'll talk more on Patreon. Patreon.com/1UpHisLife. We're going to go to Patreon. We love you guys. I know today was a little like erratic and all over the place, but it's kind of like.
Wait, today was a 1UP episode.
Yeah. In other words, today was an episode of 1UP, the podcast 1UP. So we love you guys. And we'll see you on Patreon. Patreon.com/1UpHisLife.